All right. Y'all, you ready?
Amen.
Say this. Say, I expect to receive from God this morning revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Corey preached my sermon last Sunday, so this is really just, we're going to visit a while, but he really did preach a lot of what I was going to preach. It all changed because, well, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you had me on this path, and then he just messed it up. You know? I mean, he was following the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit is so good. So good. So the Holy Spirit put me on the back end of his message, and we're just going to kind of piggyback off his. So last week he was talking about that when we go through trials and tribulations, to count it all joy. That sounds easy, doesn't it? Right? Hey, nothing to that. Just count it all joy. And when we go through stuff. Well, so the Holy Spirit was showing me that. How do we wind up in that stuff? Sometimes it's choice. You know, and sometimes stuff just happens. So we're going to look at that this morning. Y'all turn to John chapter 16. I hope y'all are ready to wander through the Word this morning. Because I got a few scriptures that we may turn to. You know, and I was thinking about that as I was studying and praying about it. And I kept writing down a scripture here. And okay, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, why wouldn't you want to go to different scripture? Why would you complain about having to look up scripture? Why? And I'm like, well, that's a good question. Why would you? Because the more scripture that we turn to, the more scripture that we see, the more scripture gets in here and here. Amen? Amen? Y'all remember that thought because it might fit in later. John 16 and verse 33. So this goes along with what Corey was talking about. It said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. That's Jesus in me. You might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. So those of you that think you're going to go through life without any tribulation, guess what? Jesus said right here, you're going through something. Sooner or later, you're going to go through something. That's just the way it is. But, everybody say but. I like those buts if they're used in the right way in a sentence, okay? This is a positive, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Man, there ought to be more than three people saying hallelujah. We ought to be shouting over that. Because if you look at the state of the world right now, man, that's wow. He's telling me he's already overcome it. So why do I get worried when the gas goes up? Why do I get worried when what happened last week when they started the bombing in Iran? You know, and people start panicking. And oh, I saw a post on Facebook the other day. Facebook is just terrible. But it's pretty entertaining if you just read it. You don't get caught up in putting something on it. You're never going to convince anybody of anything on Facebook, so don't waste your time. Amen? Pray for them. That'll change. Praying works, right? But they put on there, they said, oh my gosh, the last time that we bombed Iran, we had to stand in line to get gas in 1979. I graduated high school in 1979 and I never stood in line to get gas in my pickup. They got 6 miles to the gallon. Had a Ford 460 in it and it would run. And it'd go... But see, that's what happens in the world, right? The world sees what's happening, and some of the older folks remember that from 79 and going, oh, we're going to be standing in line. Here, no, it's been a week. Great strides are being made, and whether you agree with it or not, pray about it. Amen? Instead of getting all tore up about, we're going to be standing in line for this, and this went up, gas went up. Guess what? Gas go back down too. Promise you. I promise you. It will. But this is why that we have hope and we have cheer, is because God says he overcame the world, right? Y'all listen to this. So be of good cheer in the Greek means be courageous. Oh, wow. It doesn't mean to be just happy. It means to be courageous, be confident, be bold, undaunted, be filled with joy. Why would we be filled with joy? Well, Jesus gave us the victory, right? He gave us the certainty. He says right there, I have overcome the world. Woo! That's good stuff right there. So what happens in trials and tribulations? I'm glad you asked. Do I need to take my hat off? I don't know. I just kept it on. It felt good this morning, right? Oh, okay. So some of y'all may know I used to teach school. I did. Y'all laugh. I taught algebra and geometry. Dang, how did you glue this on there? And as I was telling Laurie about this, as I was putting this together, and the Holy Spirit was showing me things. And so I was drawing on the paper and I was showing her how this did this. And she goes, how are you going to do that at church? I said, well, I hadn't really planned on doing that at church, but you know what? And the Holy Spirit goes, that's a good idea. You should do that. So I don't know if he was agreeing with you or not, but it was his idea. But anyway. So the title of this message is, what are you chasing? What are you chasing? Now, some of you that, part of you can see, I know some of y'all may not over there, but you'll be able to see up there, hopefully. So, what are you chasing? That's the title of the message. I'm not an artist. You will not see many pictures drawn today, so don't get your hopes up. And I taught math. I did not teach writing, so. Okay. What are you chasing? Can y'all see that over there? Do I need to write bigger? Rusty, did you bring your glasses? Yeah, a little bigger. Okay. That says, you don't have to talk louder when somebody can't see, I forget. What are you chasing, right? So in life, we start out with good intentions. We're walking with God, man. We're fired up, right? And so, what are you chasing? Well, we have a job, right? Some of us have a job. So, man, we start out and we're going after this job full-heartedly. Man, we're in it. We're praising God for the job he got us. Boom, boom. Or you may have been your health, you know, you're fighting to have good health. So, or you could be fighting what else? Somebody give me one. It's okay. You'd be chasing success, right? Because once you start getting a taste of that, isn't it good? It's like, success. Man, they noticed me at work. So, you know, and so I've been following God, but they noticed me at work. So you're chasing success. Chasing what? And we teach at the church that we don't chase that, right? But it happens. Okay, so, and I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I'm showing you what the Holy Spirit showed me. Amen? So we're chasing a job, or we're chasing help, or we're chasing success, or we're chasing money, or we're chasing what else? Relationship. Oh, yeah, happiness. Those both are good. What was that? Happiness. You know, I'd written that one down. That's good. Okay, so I'm running out of room, so we're going to stop right there. Okay? So we get started with the best intentions. With the best intentions. We started out chasing a job. We chased the success. We chased money. We chased relationship. And in the midst of this, when you start chasing this. What happens right here? Let's say that you made a little money, but you're having money troubles now. Oh, wait, here comes worry. So I start worrying about making more money, right? Well, I got mad at my spouse and we're fighting and we're talking about getting a divorce because I've been chasing money so much I haven't been at home to be with her or the kids. And so now there's a lot of unforgiveness going on. Amen? See, but with that money, what's the big word that goes with money? Greed. See what comes? Oh, bless you. Greed. Do what?
Pride.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one. Pride. See, and then when we start worrying, then we get into the thing called anxiety. Do y'all see what's happening here? See, when we innocently started out trying to do our job, or we started out trying to have a family, and when you have, see, and that's a big deal. You start chasing your kids. Where did your chasing go? Which way did your chasing go? When you start chasing these, if it's not being chased the right way, then guess what? Here it goes. To this right here. See, and we could go on and on, couldn't we? About this list. I wrote some down. I don't know if they're... doubt, fear, anger, complaining, unbelief, unforgiveness. I put unforgiveness up there. All of those, see, are a result of starting to chase this. Everybody see where I'm going? You might. Okay? Now, everybody pause for a minute. It was so interesting. The Holy Spirit is so good. Y'all know that. I'd been studying and I'd taken a break. I think it was Thursday. And I just sat down on the couch and got a cup of coffee and phone rings. It's a person I know. Fairly young person. And talked to him over the years, counseled with him. And they called. I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "I'm out chasing money. Out here trying to make money." And I went, "Wow." And we started talking. And I could tell they were down. I could tell that things weren't going the way they thought. The way, not that they thought, that they knew should be going. 3 years ago, this person was fired up for the Lord. Reading the Word every day. Talk the Word. I mean, neat little family. And now he said, it's tough. We're having problems. So, I talked to him. And I talked to him like a father would. I said, "I'm going to give you some advice." I said, because I know that when you chase, you don't get planted. And our pastor, who is so big on planting, he talks about planting in a church, right? You're going to grow where you're planted. I know this person, they've changed churches 5 or 6 times. They've changed jobs 5 or 6 times. This is a young person. You listen to me, young people. Young people, that's probably 40 and down for me. It's okay. And you older folk, I'm going to get to y'all. I'm there. But if you plant in a job and you do that job to the glory of the Lord, you'll have success. And it was so good for me when I had that call. because I knew that this is what I was supposed to preach on this week. It's like such great confirmation. So what happens when we have this kind of chasing and it turns into this? Okay, this is one picture that I'm going to draw. It turns into a heart problem. It turns into a hardened heart problem. In Matthew, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? Y'all know that scripture. When we start chasing this, and then we start having trials and tribulations, and then we start getting over here into this column, and then we start we left one off here too. Oh, because this is a good one. Well, no, it's not a good one, but it's one to point out. Angry. See, when you move from here, then all of a sudden you're angry, or you have the pride that keeps you angry, that won't let you see what's going on. Amen? So then you go to the heart, because that's where it goes. That's the becomes the problem. Y'all turn to Proverbs 4:23. Say amen when you dare. All right, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with diligence, because out of it flow the springs of life. Amen. So it's telling us here that we're supposed to keep guard over our heart. And that word diligence is like talking about like a soldier that's in charge of something. You're in charge of keeping guard over your heart. Amen? So that this doesn't happen. See, when we get there, if we're guarding our heart, we don't ever get there. Amen? Go to Philippians 4. I told y'all we was going to turn some. You need to see it, because this message this morning is for somebody here that's chasing. And you may not even know you've been chasing till it rings a bell and go, oh, wait a minute. That's me. See, we've got to learn how to chase and what to chase. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That careful is not like, oh, got to be careful. No, it means not to be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't get worked up. In the Amplified, it says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Amen? So instead of getting all worked up, we've got to learn how to do this. But look what happens if we do verse 6. Let's read verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Are you making God aware of what you need and what's going on in your life? Are you talking to Him? Other than, good morning, God. We're starting our day. Okay, bye. Talk to you tomorrow. He wants to hear from you. Somebody asked me, we were talking, and they said, when do you start hearing from the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit told me to say, and it just came out. I said, have you ever tried to talk to somebody that doesn't talk to you? And I was like, that was the Holy Spirit, because it came out. Y'all stop and think about that. God wants a relationship. And you can have this. But if you're not making your prayers and requests known to Him, I mean, we know He's all-knowing, but it's just like tithes and offerings. If you're not tithing and offerings, you're not activating and getting in God's economy. How can God have a relationship if you're not asking and telling and talking to God? Amen? It's a two-way street. You know, you don't just sit and go, okay, God, give it to me. Because if you hadn't been working on it, this is pretty much how you're going to be most of the day. Think about that. So what's cool is that if you do verse 6, then look what happens in verse 7. Isn't that cool? See, verse 7 tells us if we make those prayers and supplications to the Lord with thanksgiving, then we get that peace. Amen? How many young people we got in here? Young people, 40 and under. It's okay to raise your hand. We're not, you know. Yeah, some of y'all are like, well, I'm going to anyway because I'm not getting it. Here's something that I told my kids. And I wished I'd have been able to tell them sooner. But I'll be 65 in August. And me and Howdy were talking about this earlier. Is that I wish I had known what it was like. I know what it's like now. But my wife and I walk in peace every day. Nothing messes with us. No matter if there's something comes up or something doesn't come up or whatever it is, we've been walking in peace now for a while. It's the most amazing thing ever, y'all. So I tell you, it's the thing about it is it's not too early even for the old folks. I put myself in older folks. Let's put it that way, right? But especially you younger ones that are just starting out in life, get that peace. Understand how to receive that peace. Amen? Because it'll make your life, oh my Lord, you'll have the joy of the Lord. Woo! I do. I told all four of my girls, I said, I want y'all to understand how to have that peace. You've got to have that peace. It's a life changer. It's a game changer. Amen? Golly, y'all staring at me like a calf at a new gate. If we are truly guarding our heart means paying attention to what we are watching, what we say, what we are listening to, what we are scrolling, who we listen to, opinions we are listening to. See, if we're truly to guard our heart, what are you listening to? What are you reading? What's the junk? You know, when they first came out with computers, you know, there was an old story. Junk in, junk out. You put junk in, that's what you're getting out. Junk out. Okay? You put junk in, you get junk out. Amen? And don't get me wrong, okay? Because Laurie and I had this talk yesterday. Because some people will take it to an extreme. They'll go, then I can't laugh and I can't cut up. And No. God wants us to enjoy life. Amen. How many times, y'all have heard Pastor Corey say, we serve a fun God. And if you look around this room, wait, just look up here because y'all know Ricky and how he treats Ricky. How God deals with me, okay? He looks at me and laughs all the time. And it's okay. He goes, what he going to do next? Ricky does that a lot too. What's he going to do next? Amen? But see, you have to understand that God has a sense of humor. And it's okay to laugh. It's okay to joke around. Okay? Don't get so caught up in that religiosity. Religiosity. That's a word, ain't it? Jet, they teach you that in college yet? Not yet. It's next year, I think. But what I'm saying is don't be an old fuddy-dud. Amen? And there's old fuddy-duds at 15 and 20 years old. Amen? You have to understand. But when we talk about guarding this, you have to take into account, what are you doing? What are you saying? The mouth is, life and death is in the tongue. That's what the Word says. So what's coming out? Amen? Y'all with me? Okay, go to John 14, 27. So how do we counteract all this stuff? All this, what am I chasing? Chasing the dollar. I'm chasing my kids. I'm chasing my job. I'm chasing. And at the end of the day, you're chased out. Anybody feel like that? I've been there. I don't anymore, but I've been there. Nobody will admit it. That's okay. I'm good. Because I see the world, and I see people in the world, and I see what's going on. And I see how people are doing things. Amen? You there? John 14, 27. I'm almost there. There I am. 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus telling us right there, don't let your heart be troubled. Amen? Quit being afraid. Stand on my word. Be bold. Be confident that what he says will come to pass. Amen? So 1 Corinthians 10:31. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but you can. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Oh, wait a minute. Does somebody see a counterattack going on right here? See, what it says is, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whoo, hallelujah. See, I looked up that whatever. Whatever. In the Greek, it means anything. It symbolizes a totality, all-encompassing, and comprehensive scope, covering every action, thought, or decision, little or big. Whatever. So next time when you say whatever, be careful on how you use whatever. Amen? See, because in that scripture it says, whatever you do. So that means that whatever you do, you thank God that you're doing it. Just like I said, filling up with gas. Oh, praise God, I can pay for it. Amen? Praise God that that young person called last week and I got to talk to him and pray. And maybe that God will, that he'll listen and they'll do what they're going to do because they know the word. Thank you, Lord, I got to sow into somebody. Thank you that I got up this morning and I got to come. Y'all got to come to church. There's people that don't get to do that, y'all. Amen? They're hiding out trying to read about Jesus. And here we are wondering if we're going to read about him tomorrow or just wait till Tuesday or Wednesday. Know what I'm saying? Go to Colossians 3:17. While you turn there, I wrote this down. And I read this and I can't remember where I read it. It was on Bible Hub, but I don't remember. But listen to this, because this messed with me all week. Not messed with me in a bad way, in a good way. Rusty, you'll like this. In Corinthians, where we just read about whatever you do, whether you eat, drink, whatever, do it to the Lord. Paul is saying there's no such thing as a spiritual neutral moment. Listen again. Listen to what that says. Paul is saying there's no such thing as a spiritual neutral moment. You know what that means, don't you? That everything that you do is not neutral spiritually. Amen? It's either this spiritual chasing or it's on the good side of chasing. Amen? Isn't that cool? My head went like, poof. Laurie and I were talking about it, and I thought, I mean, y'all are all like, yeah, that's cool. But I was like, man, never thought about that. Because like, when Steve, you're out there working and doing electric, man, that can be a spiritual moment if you put the screwdriver in the wrong. That's going to be more than a spiritual moment right there. But see, we don't stop and think about those things that we do or that we're thinking, or it's never a spiritual neutral moment. That blows my mind. I told Laurie, I said, okay, so let's talk about that. Because when you stop and think about a spiritual neutral moment, what about sitting on the couch? It doesn't have to be a spiritual neutral moment. You know what? Hey, you can be watching some baseball game on TV because there's a lot of praising going on. And sometimes there's praying when they're not playing good. Amen? What are you saying? See, what are you saying when you do things? That just blew me away because it's changed even more so how I think about things. That, wow, well, maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to pray about this a little more. Maybe, you know, because if that's what Paul's saying in that instant, that there's not a spiritual neutral moment, woo! My moments are fixing to be big. It's the way I want to think, don't you? I mean, we laugh about it now. It's fun. Think about it. Your spiritual moments can grow and grow and grow. Or what are you chasing? You know, I got hung up over here. Don't have a spiritual neutral moment. You don't have to from there. See, you're accountable for what you know now. That's what the Bible says. Right? So we know that now. Don't have another spiritual neutral moment. It's time to move. Where are we going? Colossians? Thank you. I was almost there, kind of. Chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. See, it's just backing up what Paul's talking about there in Corinthians. It's not neutral. Y'all, we're supposed to be thankful for everything. We're supposed to commit everything to God that we do. Amen? And it even from the teeniest, minute, smallest thing to the biggest thing you think was the most important thing that you told God. You know what? As I was studying this out and I read different theologians, their little commentaries and their little explanations. But one of them did say, and I agreed with it, is that I personally, okay, this is not in the Bible, but I personally believe that it delights God to the cosmos more when you share that little bitty thing than when you have some major deal that you run to and say, God, I need your help. I'm hurting. I'm help. See, God expects that. I don't know if God expects it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. That's my opinion. Is that we all think we run to God with our big problems. But when you say, you know what, Lord, I love my wife. You blessed me so much. See, that to a lot of people, that's not a big deal. To me, it's a big deal. But God knows it may just be this big. But to Him, man, that means everything to Him. Because see, you're giving God you. You're giving God this. Because this isn't hardened. See, when we're chasing the right way, your heart's not hardened. We've guarded our heart. And so when we give God that small thing, man, Lord, thank you for that sunset. We look at our sunsets off our back porch in the evening. Laurie, I love it. She's notorious. She'll go out there and take it on her. And she'll come back in and she'll go, come here, you got to see this. And we both are like, thank you, Lord. He painted that just for us. because it's picture framed in our back window. See, those, he loves when we come to him as our Father and talk about those little things. Yes, we're supposed to go to him with the big things. But if we quit having spiritual neutral moments and we start going to him and thanking him for those deals, or we say, God, should I wear my brown hat today or my black? Which one goes better with it? And then if I wait on the Holy Spirit, and then I ask the backup and she helps the Holy Spirit and we get it right. But God recognizes that it's the small things, y'all. Because that's what makes a relationship. It's not one big thing that's going on. It's that every day, that walking, that's what we do. And she works all day, and I do odd things, and then we have time together. And a lot of times we have time together, it's just like, she and I are just the little things. So in that relationship, that's what makes our relationship better every day. See, our relationship is better today than it was yesterday. And so that's the way that we walk with God. Our relationship today with God should be bigger and better than it was yesterday. Somebody say amen to that. I mean, because if you don't want a bigger and better relationship with God, then I ain't got nothing for you. I'm just being honest. See, that's what we need to strive to do, is to quit having spiritual neutral moments and start having those moments and building that relationship with God that grows from yesterday. Today is a bigger and better relationship with God. Come on. Amen? Man, that fires me up. I don't know about y'all. Man. So what does the word say? In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Oh, wait a minute. So you mean I'm going to quit chasing that. Amen. Because Jeremiah says to search for him with all your heart. Right? So we've determined that it's a heart problem. We've talked about how to keep that heart from getting this way. And we've talked about that chasing this is what caused the heart problem in the first place. So when we change it and we say, chase God first. Amen? Amen. What are you chasing? What things are you chasing? Because it says in Jeremiah 29:13, "You shall seek me." Everybody say seek. Seek. That's active. That's not just going, oh, well, God, he might be over there. I don't know, might be. Maybe he's out there in the ditch out there. I don't know. No, it says, if you'll seek me, that means to do something, to look, and find me when you search with all your heart. Oh, my Lord. I wrote this down. It says, if we search with half a heart, guess what happens? You get half of God. Yeah, I know, right? But when you search, because if you're only putting half in, you're going to get half out, right? Because that's all you put in. When you learn to search God with your whole heart, whoo, hallelujah. It'll change your life. And see, people go, oh, well, I have trouble reading the Bible every day. Okay. Try. Start. Read one scripture. Go to John 3:16. That's a good one. That's a good one. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Well, that right there just tells you how much he loves you. Amen? So if you're having trouble, it's okay. But here's the key. You can't ever finish if you don't start. Amen? You know, that for some people, that's a hard thing to get through. But if you don't ever start, you can't finish. And people say, you failed. No, you didn't fail. Fail is when you quit. See, you got to learn how to get what you're saying and what, you know, oh, man, I failed at that. No, you didn't fail. Did you quit? Did you walk away? Start over. Start over. That's our God. He loves us so much. It's okay. If you got to chasing this and you feel guilty about it, repent. And then don't do it anymore. Amen? Our God is so good. Because He will forgive you for it. Amen? He's not like people that you friends or so-called friends that you do something and you ask for their forgiveness and they're going, I'm not forgiving you. Okay, good. I'm not going to be around you anymore either. See, because my God is bigger than all of that. My God loves me. My God forgives me when I mess up. My God mess when I sin, which y'all, sin is sin. Anything you do that you know is a sin. We know what sin is. We can make a list. Just saying. But you know what? You go to God and you say, God, I am so sorry. Because all, and I don't mean all in a, what sin is says, it's a miss. You missed the mark. Amen? But when you miss the mark, you repent, ask for forgiveness. Repent means to turn away and quit doing that junk. Amen? That's what it means. And you know what? We know what God does. He goes, you're forgiven. And guess what? He don't remember it anymore. It's over with for Him. He's good. Quit beating yourself up. Amen? Man, we're our own worst enemy because the devil doesn't do it until you allow him to get in your headspace. Once you allow the devil to get here, man, you got to start. Say, devil, you ain't messing with me today. Or ever. Amen? Because I'm through chasing whatever this junk is that you've been chasing. Amen? And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are that you're chasing different things. In life, everybody's chasing something, has. But when we learn, we start chasing God. All this goes away. Amen? See, that's what our God does. I'm getting close. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. I found this funny because I'm not an early riser usually. But what the Holy Spirit showed me with this scripture is that early in this instant, and I've looked it up in the Greek, or I mean in the Hebrew, I think. But it showed me that early means two things. For young people to get the word when they're young. Amen? So I guess that older part, the other part for us older folks is to start getting up a little earlier and start a little earlier in the day. I'm trying, y'all. I'm trying. But you see that it says that we start early, we'll find Him. Amen? A couple of things real quick, and I'm going to close. How do we do this? Hebrews 11:6, and I'm getting ready to close. Oh, I said that twice already. I can't do that. My gosh, God is so good. Are y'all getting something this morning? Or am I just standing up here sweating and working for y'all? Thank you, Rusty. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, everybody say faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hey, somebody, y'all ought to be shouting. He rewards you. If you diligently seek Him. See, that's what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek the kingdom of God first. Everybody say first. Not last. First. It's getting a little weak over here. When we start seeking God first, then we start chasing what we're supposed to chase first. We do it by persistence and consistency. We make Him a priority. What happens? The more you seek Him, the more you find Him. Spiritual blessings will start abounding, like peace, joy, wisdom. Why don't you chase that? Why don't you chase that instead of what the world's chasing today? All that junk about all this blah, 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 and this is so, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that. Why don't you start chasing God and start having spiritual peace and joy, and you get wisdom when it comes to that, because you're seeking Him all the time. Amen? It's a lot funner to do life that way, y'all, than walking around and, man, somebody stole your last Tootsie Roll. I don't know. That just popped out. I don't know. Do y'all get it? I hope you do. Our God is so good. And when we learn to chase Him instead of the junk. You know what? When we're chasing God, then this junk over here becomes blessings. Amen? See, instead of chasing this, when we start chasing God, He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He will reward you with better jobs than what you thought you had. Amen? You will start having help because you know the Word. It says, I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. Amen? See, you know that He wants us to prosper. Amen? He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you know we never do a service without giving somebody the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never accepted Jesus, I ask you, no, I beg you, make today your day. What are you chasing? It's time that you start chasing Jesus. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just in respect to your neighbors, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to say it out loud. We don't do anything funny, make you embarrassed. And all the believers, everybody that goes here knows, we're going to say this out loud. We all got to get this in our hearts, y'all, so that you can lead people to Jesus wherever you're at. Now's the time. Now's the time, y'all. We can see which way the world's going. And if you read the Word, you know which way the world's going. So right now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I beg you, say this prayer out loud, and believers, say it with us. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I ask you to come in and save me. I believe you died on that cross and rose on the third day. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Father, I thank you that today is my chase day. That it's Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Before I say amen, if you just accepted Jesus, if you just said that prayer for the first time, and you said it out loud, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and just stick it right back down. We want to get you a Bible. Don't be afraid to acknowledge Jesus before man, because He'll acknowledge you before the Father. On the count of three, one, two, three. Anybody? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. All right, y'all. Look at me. Amen. We got one new brother today. Praise God. Well, thank y'all. I'm honored that I get to minister here. I love it. Y'all are so wonderful, and I love y'all. And howdy, we're going to let you have it.